truth twisters.
Like Todd, former Christian megastar Mike Warnke introduces himself as an ex-Satanist high priest who ran more than 1,500 members of the Brotherhood in Southern California. As an insider of the Illuminati, Satan's premier governing body, Warnke purportedly reveals the whole grisly and frightening truth about Satanism. His book, The Satan Cellar, purports to tell the story of how a clean-cut, church-going college freshman got sucked into booze, drugs, group sex parties, and the obligatory black masses of Satanism. The Brotherhood pleasured him with everything from gorgeous drapes to a couple of chicks sitting on a white rug. And his black masses were replete with animal sacrifices and nude-adorned altars. As it turns out, however, such voyeuristic tales sprang from little more than a fertile imagination. In a make-believe world, Warnke gained power, sex, and money as a servant of Satan. In the real world, however, he achieved the world, the flesh, and the devil under the guise of serving his Savior. Like the Satan Cellar, Lauren Stratford's Christian bestseller, Satan's Underground, became one of the key sources for promoting, perpetuating, and validating the satanic ritual abuse, adult survivor, and repressed memories hysteria that peaked in the early 1990s. Details and documentation, however, demonstrate that Lauren Stratford is in reality Laurel Rose Wilson, a troubled woman from Washington State who spent most of her teen and adult life fabricating horrendous stories of victimization by a variety of people in a variety of settings. After her pornographic tales of satanic ritual abuse were exposed as fabrications, Laurel Wilson simply reinvented herself as Laura Grabowski, a Jewish Holocaust survivor, before she pointed to the scars of her self-mutilation as the work of her abusive parents, the pornographers, or the Satanist. But now she points to the scars on her arms and whispers, "Mengele's child, the work of Dr. Mengele and his medical experiments." Those who disbelieve her story are dubbed pawns in a vast satanic conspiracy. As much as we may wish it ain't so, such stories are not anomalies. Under the guise of truth, Christians have communicated the legend of Darwin's deathbed conversion, boycotted Procter & Gamble because its president allegedly appeared on a major television broadcast to confess his company's ties to Satanism, defended the historicity of the Gospels through such well-known forgeries as the Pilate Letter, argued for the inspiration of Scripture on the basis of embedded Bible codes, told the tale of James Bartley, who supposedly lived to tell about being swallowed by a whale to substantiate the biblical account of Jonah, circulated the story of scientists discovering hell in Siberia to buttress the Bible's teaching concerning eternal conscious torment, used sophistry to support the urban legend that NASA discovered Joshua's lost day, and employed sloppy journalism to circulate an endless variety of resurrection stories. As Oz Guinness chronicles in Time for Truth, such creative storytelling is pandemic in the broader culture as well. It runs the gamut from NBC Television's staged report on the exploding General Motors trucks, later acknowledged to be planted detonations, to Norma McCorvey's, also known as Jane Roe, fabricated story of rape encouraged by pro-abortion leaders that was so instrumental in the U.S. Supreme Court's 1973 decision, Roe v. Wade. Such truth-twisting tactics are inevitably justified by the larger truth that filmmaker Oliver Stone used in defending the facts in one of his films. "Even if I'm totally wrong," he said, "I am still right. I'm essentially right because I'm depicting the evil with a capital E."